Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andy Shea. Andy, all is right with the world again. It's our Friday show. You and I back together. Everything is normal, right? Routine.
Routine for me. We're doing it at the same time. Got four quarters. We're talking about Penn State football. Same as it ever was, Jimmy. No different this week. Road game against Iowa, Kinnick Stadium for the Nittany Lions. Big game, tough place to stay. We're going to break it down and talk about it. We're not. I don't know what to say, but, you know, nothing is normal around Penn State football right now after the Sunday Pat Kraft bomb.
You're right. Absolutely nothing is the same. It was a bombshell. And it's both a surprise and not. I think in the moment, things had gotten so bad, I don't believe anybody in the world was surprised on Sunday that it happened.
I was surprised. Maybe Monday.
That's right. I think, Andy, the speed, and also I think you have to look at this in both micro and macro, in time and in the couple days. Not a surprise, but if you take a step back and look, the speed with which this took place, first of all, that lose the game against Northwestern at home, game ends, what, about 7 o'clock? 18 hours later, James Franklin is gone.
Gone, yeah. Micro-macro level, you talked about – Pat Kraft had already done plenty of due diligence, I'm sure, over the course of the offseason, after the UCLA loss, getting things in place, trial balloons, finding out information. Yes, no, where are the hurdles? Where are the blocks? Hindsight, you know, we talked about hindsight a lot when we, you know, recorded a quick podcast on, and, you know, radio show on Sunday was, you know, hindsight is an interesting thing. James might have coached and saved his job last year, possibly, with that run in the college football playoffs in many ways, so it seems. But this did happen fast, but in many ways, Jimmy, it also feels like literally the cherry on top of a 7-layer cake with frosting and coconut on top of it, and then you just put a cherry. Like, all of the heavy lifting was done. It was just time to put the cherry on top. I think an embarrassing loss to UCLA and a what-is-going-on loss to Northwestern, plus the vibe. No, does the vibe matter? It certainly does. Booze, people selling. I saw one where people were selling bags with James Franklin, just the vibe was so bad. So bad. I mean, my friend's telling me that we're in the stadium. Like, once we took the lead, we had no belief that we would hold that lead and win the game. I'm like, you're Penn State fans. What are you talking about? So the vibe, Jimmy, was just so untenable and bad. It was time to put the cherry on top of the 7-layer cake.
Well, I think there was actually when Penn State, there were some positive moments. I think the fan support came. I mean, it was there. They wanted to will this team, you know, across the finish line because they wanted something positive. So I won't totally destroy the fan base in that way. But Andy, like in timing, we could look at this, you know, from a day-to-day basis, how fast it happened. We could look at this like week to week in this season, where it went from when the season began there was still the high expectations, the number two ranking in the country, but you could see it progress week to week, playing the three out-of-conference cupcakes. They didn't play well
at all.
Then you could go back, you know, on a year-to-year basis, Andy. Just a quick look. The last 3 years, this team has won 11 games, 10 games, 13 games, finished ranked 7th, 13th, and 5th in the country. A year ago, they were in the college football playoff semifinals. And there are, what, like about 65 Power 4 teams in the country, Andy, about that.
Yeah.
There's probably 60 of them who would trade places with what Penn State has done and where they have been the last 3 years. So my question is, I this didn't start, you know, over the weekend against Northwestern. It didn't start over the weekend against UCLA.
No.
This goes back. Where did it start? How did it fall apart so quickly, Andy?
Well, so let's put some layers on the cake then. So to start with, Penn State under James wins 70% of the time. He won 70% of his games. He ran a competent program. He had clearly put Penn State in position to be considered an upper tier, upper second tier, I will say, national title contender. Not too bad, really. Like if you're in the upper second tier, you're one of the four, five, six, seven teams that could be considered a national title contender. There you go with your 60 to 65. But so you've got that. But how did it happen so quickly, and how did we get to there? Well, it was more of what the real core of the downfall and the problem sort of with the fan base and with Penn State supporters. You know, the two losses this year, let's do the immediate. The two losses this year meant that Penn State became the first team since 1978 that was favored by 20 or more points to lose both those football games, right? So those are such bad losses, right? Then you've got the big game James stuff, the Oregon loss. Let's go back to the Oregon game, right? We've taken care of the, you know, sort of what fits and what fits past, you know, what fits what's happened in the past and what is a trend and what is the normal and what can be expected of James. Win 70% of his games. However, so the two losses by favorite 20 or more points is UCLA, Northwestern, Oregon loss, right? Two top five teams, all the national attention in the world on that game. Penn State loses it, tough loss in overtime. That drops James to 4-21 against top 10 opponents and 1-18 against top 10 Big Ten conference teams. That's terrible. His 160 winning percentage against AP top 10 teams while at Penn State is one of the top three worst records ever since they began keeping polls in like the late 30s, early 40s. That's all an indictment of 11 plus years going into a 12th year of body of work. So you stack it up and go, bad conference record against good opponents, bad conference record against equal competition when both teams are ranked, doing something highly unusual, losing two games when you're 20 plus favorite in like 50 years, almost 50 years. That's recent, and the Oregon loss stacked it up. It's the big game, James. I hated that term, but it's the only one that fits. It's the big game, James, coming to life and going maybe in some degrees, Jimmy, to another level. You know what I mean? Like, what? Yeah, I think maybe in Pat's mind, I'm just guessing here, the UCLA and Northwestern loss were next level stuff. You can't have that. That's just a bridge too far. I could hit, you know, maybe he could digest and sort of process through all the big game James stuff. Tough loss to Oregon. Overtime. Okay, it stacks on to what is already a growing and fully, you know, mature rhetoric, and it's factual. It just happens to be true. But then you lose to UCLA and Northwestern. That's next level. That's a bridge too far. And that seems like that's what it was, and that is what, despite a 70% winning percentage and running a fairly, you know, a competent program, it's a bridge too far for Pat, for Penn State, for their fans, for the administration, for the board. We just can't do it like this anymore.
I'm going to play a little bit devil's advocate here, Andy.
Yes, sir.
First of all, you know, the 70%, well, that takes into consideration his first couple of years where there were the effect of sanctions and so on. A more recent, again, I gave you the record the last 3 years, right. a pretty big window. He's at over 80%. The record against top 10 teams, do you know that until this Oregon game, he was the underdog in 20 consecutive top 10 games?
Correct.
What I'm saying is, you know, it's the old, there's lies, damn lies, and statistics.
Right, right. I get it.
He was the underdog. And now this is me cherry picking a little bit, but his record against Ohio State, the infamous 1-10, 1-11, whatever, 1-10, I guess.
1-10, yeah.
Okay, 1-10. Do you know, based on the spread, he's beaten the spread more often than not against Ohio State, which right. If you use that as the level of expectation, his teams have outperformed expectations. Ohio State recruits in a way that Penn State nor anyone else not named Alabama or Georgia have recruited, okay? So they have more talent. Again, I'm playing a little devil's advocate here.
No, you're not wrong.
So, you know, I think if we're going to look at this, you got to look at that kind of balance. And I even think, you know, a team that went to the college football semifinals a year ago, and as it's described, one play away from going to the finals.
3 points.
And then you go to this season, and that Oregon loss, there is no doubt in my mind, there's talk of, in past, James Franklin's teams have turned one loss into two. This year, they turned one loss into three. Okay? There's no doubt about that. However, with that said, Andy, as I defend James Franklin, when we come back, I'll tell you why I still think it was the right decision right after this break.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He's Andy Shea. I'm Jim Galante. We're talking about everything going on, the bombshell that landed at Penn State. Andy, you said you had a question for me to start off this segment.
Right, yeah. So I went over the big game James numbers in quarter one. You were playing a little bit of devil's advocate. My question, and you were talking about the last 3 years, he's won 80%, and you know, He was not favored and blah blah. So let's just take all of that out of the equation. I got a question for you. Big game. By your definition, I don't care what your definition is. Big game. When's the last time Penn State won one? Do you consider one of the first two playoff games a big game? It doesn't matter. I want to know, by your definition as a Penn State fan, big game. When's the last time they knocked one off?
I do give them credit for the two playoff wins.
Cool. Yeah, I think they're very, very good wins. The last one I consider big, sort of, I mean, the college football playoffs is a big stage. They were heavily favored and expected to win those games. A game that was truly a 50-50, like you went into going, I don't know. I think I have to go back to either Auburn or West Virginia a few years back. At Auburn, at West Virginia, early in the season. I think they were the first games each year. Those are really the last ones in my mind where I'm like, they should take the Ohio States and the Michigans out because they weren't expected to win. You don't expect Penn State to beat those teams per se right now. I'm just saying in my book, those were it.
I understand, Andy, and he didn't win those games. And the reason why with the playoff games, there would be a boatload of people, had Boise State beaten Penn State, would have said, see, I told you, he can't win a big game. But when he wins it, it's so what? It's not a big win. You know, that was the same Boise State team that went into Oregon, the undefeated number one team, regular season team in the country a year ago, and gave them all they could handle. What was it, like a 1 or 2 point game, something like that, at Oregon, okay? So I don't trivialize those wins.
I agree.
But where I have, and I've said this before, in those big games, Andy, I use Ohio State often because I think that's the microcosm of what's happening in losing to good teams, really good teams. I think Ohio State has always had the better talent than Penn State. And Penn State has played well in those games, but not good enough. Where I have an issue is he had double-digit leads in several of them. Yeah, including a couple times in the fourth quarter, a double-digit lead. You got to win those games, okay? Yep. So that's what – and the reason why I think this all came to a head, Andy, is absolutely everything, and I mean everything, went their way going into this season, during the offseason. The players returning, the experienced team, the depth – everything. Then for this whiteout game, everything was in their favor. I spent an entire offseason, Andy, saying, bet the house, the mortgage, the wife, the kids on Penn State that night because they have all offseason to prepare for it, a bye week going into the game, night game, whiteout. He had everything in the world going his way, Andy. The good news is they had everything going their way. The bad news is because they had everything in the world going their way, a loss turned it into not just a normal loss, but an absolutely gut-wrenching, disappointing performance. And I think that just made it untenable for the fans, the board, Pat Kraft, everyone. And, you know, it was almost like Pat Kraft was cornered into that decision.
Maybe a little bit, but I mean, also I want to add, you know, you're talking, yeah, you just talked eloquently about it. They lost the whiteout and the stripe out at home. And if nothing else, the Penn State was, you could count on them to be a different or better team at home. Now they're not. That's another tick in the box that you can check. And I still think despite all of this, you know, we're kind of asking, how did we get here? What do people feel and what do they think? And, you know, what the vibe matters, right? And it's not because fans hate the fan base is like wishy-washy or hates Penn State. They're just like, I can't take this anymore. One, like, this guy has been a season ticket holder for, like, 35 years or something like that. And he's like, this was my third season where I was done with James. Like, he gave him like 8 full years. He was like, I just can't do it anymore. And he was like, to the point where I would not, if James was still the coach, I would not spend my money. But I will spend my money if anybody but James is the coach.
And Andy, see, I have a bit of a problem with that attitude. And I realize, and I think this is part of the equation.
It's part of the equation
that Pat Kraft had to deal with.
Yes.
It's still fact that fans feel that way. But you said, you know, it's like 3 years going that this fan has had enough of James Franklin. The last 3 years, Andy, 11, 10, and 13 wins. Okay. Again, if you're not named Alabama, not named Ohio State, not named Georgia, you would kill for those records over the last 3 years. So I don't think that attitude is fair to James Franklin, but I also don't think it matters for Pat Kraft, because it is what it is. That is the attitude.
But and I don't think that's part of it.
He could not go on. And with these expectations this year, the talent depth that they had this year, you can't lose those games that they did. And I'm going to throw one other thing on here, Andy, and this is me probably going to be tough on a young man who's a college football player, but I spent the offseason saying James Franklin and Drew Aller are tied at the hip here. They're connected at the hip.
And for 3 years.
If they beat Oregon, that's a huge, huge win for those two. Well, if you look at these last four losses, Andy, meaning Notre Dame last year, Oregon, UCLA, and Northwestern, the ball was placed in Drew Aller's hands when it counted most. And he came up short every single time.
3-4 in his last 7 games as a starting quarterback.
And I don't even, you know, forget the record. I think when crunch time came and each one of those games, now this entire season he has underperformed. I think he went from his first year as a starter to his second year as a starter, much improved. And I thought that's what we would see this year. Not only did we not see it in those big moments, like against Oregon in overtime, Andy, we didn't see it in those first 3 games against Nevada, FIU, and Villanova. Yeah, there was an overwhelming talent difference, but we didn't see it from that guy.
Yeah, the quarterback had clearly taken a step backwards. That's just, there's no other way to put it. From year 1 to year 2, he took a number of steps forward. From year 2 to year 3, he took nothing, pretty much, but steps backwards. Maybe held serve here or there a little bit, but for the most part, he was trending in the wrong direction.
Why do you think that happened, Andy?
I think I talked about in the offseason, I thought he lost his confidence, and I don't think he was ever able to reacquire it. Like, he didn't play like a confident, comfortable in his own skin quarterback. I don't think he was comfortable in his own skin for some reason. As the quarterback of Penn State, he was clearly lacking confidence, and the two were tied, and it showed up snap after snap after snap, right, Jimmy? It wasn't like it was, and it was the little things. He was making the little things difficult and was not making them look easy. He wasn't making them look easy, and the job of good / great ones is they make the easy stuff look secondary, right? Like, the easy looks really easy and almost non-existent. The easy stuff for him, you saw it, footwork, short throws, you know, ball out on time, et cetera, et cetera. He still has a cannon of an arm, and you saw it from time to time, and you had those throws where you go like, whoa, look at that throw. But it's the easy ones, because that's the play after play after play that matters. I mean, he was committed. He worked hard. He put the time in. He had the will. He just didn't have that sort of comfort in his own skin and confidence to be able to take a step forward.
How culpable is the offensive coordinator and the head coach for that?
Man, I don't know if you can teach that, Jimmy. I don't know if you can instill it in somebody. I mean, you have to. I thought they created an opportunity to give him to be successful, and there was just a gap. There was a gap somewhere. I don't know if it's a responsibility gap, but there's some kind of gap, whether it was between the quarterback and his teammates, whether it was between the quarterback and the coaching staff, whether it was just the quarterback with itself, was it with the coaching staff asking too much expectations, too much of him? There was a gap somewhere. I haven't done enough deep thinking about it to identify it, but there's a gap somewhere, and it is a large gap that sort of creates this black hole. My thing is, it's more Drew's relationship, or it's between him and the players, because he's not the kind of guy. Not being comfortable in his own skin means he's not the kind of guy that is a sort of rah-rah, natural, intangibles leader. Guys around you need that maybe a little bit from the quarterback. He didn't have and very little of it, unfortunately, and I think that was ultimately a big problem that he recognized and knew existed.
I do believe you're correct that there's an issue there, a disconnect probably among the players.
Yeah, a gap.
But I also feel like it's up to the coordinator / head coach to put these players who are talented in positions to succeed. We don't have time for it right now. But I also think that's part of the issue with Nick Singleton. He's not being put into a position to succeed. The kid didn't forget how to run the ball, Andy.
Oh, he did.
All right. That's it for quarter number two. Stick around. We got Ask Andy coming up.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. You've been waiting almost a month for this. Andy Shea back to ask Andy questions. You know, to answer Ask Andy questions. You know what, Andy? We've asked the questions every week. Whoever our guest was had to handle the questions. It's not the same without you, though.
Thank you, Jimmy, but this is going to be a one-hit wonder because I know what every question is going to be about. So,
all right.
I'm kind of sad because I want to talk about anything else, but we have to talk about them. Let's do it. I want to hear some of the voices and what their questions are.
All right. Some familiar names here. Let's start with Steve from Columbia. He says, is James Franklin too nice? He coaches nice. He recruits nice players. He's nice on the sideline. He's nice in press conferences. Too damn nice. I want to see a 15-yard personal foul call on a Penn State player against Iowa in one of the first four plays to set the tone for the game and the rest of the season. Ah, that felt good. Have a nice week.
Yeah, I don't think he was too nice, Steve. Sorry. I mean, if you want another 15-yard penalty, I mean, they had 7 penalties for 61 yards in the first half last week. You want them to just keep kicking themselves in the gut and, you know, hand punching themselves in the face, go ahead, take that 15-yard penalty. I don't think he was. Your question was, is he too nice? I don't think that was a quote unquote problem, because, you know, it doesn't cost anything to be kind. So, but too nice, I don't think that it doesn't strike me as problematic. That's all. That's my answer.
Andy, you know, here's where I will agree with Steve. First of all, I will disagree with the penalty thing. No, I don't want the personal foul penalty. But the too nice thing, when this team so underperformed like they did in the first half against UCLA, and he did the sideline interview, and his answer was, well, we're a little bit inconsistent. We got to clean up a few things. No, you weren't inconsistent. You were very consistent in that first half, consistently bad. And I wanted to hear him say he was going to tear that locker room apart, because that first half was unacceptable. I don't think, and I often compare, you know, the sports world to the real world. And I had this conversation with my brother, who has run, you know, companies, he's been in charge. And I asked him, do you ever do, well, the business analogy of tearing the locker room apart? And it's a conscious decision to do that, not because you're so upset, but your crew needs to hear that you are. And he said, yeah, countless times, because you just needed to get that message across. And I'm not sure that's in James Franklin's DNA, Andy.
Command your troops. And in those moments, I don't think he knew what that meant. Command your troops.
Right.
And I don't think he knew what that meant in those moments. Maybe that's by that, maybe it was a flaw. Like, you remember, he would lose his mind over the wrong stuff when he should have been laying more blame at the cleats of his players. He was raining down the wrong kind of blame at the wrong kind of players' cleats. And I know how to command your troops, and I don't think he did.
Okay, let's move on. Another Steve. This is Steve from Huntington Valley, and you'll understand why I did these back-to-back. Steve from Huntington Valley says, does Andy agree with my grading of James Franklin? Game day prep coach, he gets a C. Beats the team he's supposed to, struggle against top 10 teams and or Michigan and Ohio State. X's and O's and time management weren't always a strong suit.
Yep.
CEO gives him an A. Great ambassador for the school. Brought tremendous investment into the facilities, dorms, NIL development. Let's not forget how great he was in these areas. He'd make a great GM, in my opinion. In terms of ask Andy questions, Steve from Huntington Valley, A+. All other Steves that submit a question, D-.
So Steve from Huntington Valley gives him a C for game day management. I think after his first, you know, let's just say 5-6 years, that time frame, he was an F in my book. I think he's come up to a D, was approaching a C before the 2025 season. But CEO, A. I 100% agree. CEO is an A. His game day was a D in my book. So, but he is right. The sort of nuances of the game, the decision-making, the time management, all that little stuff was always kind of like, you know, you're the dog that cocks his head sideways. Like, huh? So that's why I went from... I gave him a D. I'd give him a D at the end of the game, but CEOA. All right, let's next.
I am anxious to hear a response from Steve from Columbia and Steve from Chicago. Let's go to Jimmy in Forest City. Andy and Jim, how many years will this season and the three consecutive losses so far set the program back for their goal of being a playoff team? We are already losing our best recruits, and I'm sure the transfer out rate will increase.
Yeah, there's the $64,000 question, Jimmy. What's the collateral damage? I mean, you know, the list of sort of potential coaching candidates, which is longer, the list of potential coaching candidates or the list of players who have decommitted in the next two recruiting classes, the number of players who have decommitted or opened their recruiting. I don't know which one is longer, but they're both pretty long. So the talent acquisition thing is the great unknown. It's it could be some, you know, Colorado Rocky Mountain High, Jimmy. It could be really tough. It could be up and down. It might be. I don't know. I'm not sure. I just know that talent acquisition still matters, and it looks like, you know, it looks like there's a lot of jumping ship going on.
There is, Andy, but this is how this happens, okay? It will.
I know.
And any place. Now
what's the fallout? What's it going to look like?
This is the part. This is the negative that happens when a coach leaves, okay? Sure. Now, there's going to be the counter to this, which is when you announce that new coach, what talent is he going to bring with him?
Correct.
What talent will recommit or just plain commit? How many doors open because you brought in Kurt Cignetti or, you know, Matt Rhule or whoever it is you bring in?
Oh, look at Jimmy naming his favorites.
No, not my favorites. They're just the names that I'm mentioning, Andy. And using Kurt Cignetti as an example in this age of the transfer portal, and I will remind you of a couple things. The first one, and this is a direct quote from Pat Kraft, our ability to attract elite candidates to lead our program. That tells me he's going out for the big fish, Andy. He wants to bring in a big name. He also talked about aggressively attacking the transfer portal. That tells me Pat Kraft, he knows by making this decision, he is now tied to the next coach that comes in. Okay. He's going to be judged. So if next year is 6-6 and the following year is 7-5, that's on Pat Kraft. So you better believe it's not only going to be, you know, aggressive in all those manners. It's going to be fast that they try to bring in talent, Andy, and they're going to try to win right away. And also, I add in, earlier this week, we decided those people, we're going to start calling them the money.
The money. Yes, we did.
The money people who wanted James out, they want to say, see, I told you so. I think the money will be there to bring in talent. All right, here we go. Tim from Port Matilda. Boy, why am I stumbling over place names? Eli Drinkwitz. He's 42, knows the NIL game extremely well. He knows how to work the portal. He's a good recruiter. Oh, and there's a certain quarterback that could tag along with him. Additionally, if Matt Rhule wasn't an alum, would he even be considered? If the answer is no, then why should you pursue him? He says, if you go for Matt Rhule, it should be a slam dunk hire regardless of affiliation. The fact that he knows Pat Kraft should not be part of the equation. What say you, Andy? Eli Drinkwitz, yay or nay?
Sure, put him in the equation. Matt Rhule, yes, although I think Matt Rhule's rebuild, sort of his best work comes from teams in the ashes. Is Penn State in the ashes? I'm not sure, right? Like, I'm not going to say they aren't. You know, it seems like Matt builds from a lower totem pole rather than a higher totem pole. Temple, you know, Baylor in the wake of that scandal and just decimated. Nebraska had hit rock bottom under Frost. They were going down anyway, and they just went further. Those are his kind of builds. I'm not sure about one that's got, you know, this much touch up and paint already on it. You know what I mean? So, but should the fact that he is Penn State, they should consider him anyway, because he is, you know, he is good at restorations like this. So those are both qualified candidates, and I think Pat's going to look at all of them. In the end, it's going to be about the money. We know that.
Let me sneak one in real quick. Curtis and Lehigh Valley. Given that I more enjoy seasons where we're not expected to do much and then we end up winning, see 2016, are we at a point where expectations are gone and we can enjoy a series of surprising victory? Is there a chance of that, or are you sending someone to evaluate me because I'm talking crazy talk?
No, you want to be in the arena. What you're talking about, Curtis, is you're happy to be outside the arena more often than not, and then once in a while step inside the ropes, right? I think you want to be one of those guys going inside the ropes every time. So I think that's a little crazy, because maybe it helps you be a better fan, and that's okay. I can understand that a little bit. I know what you're talking about, but you want to be in the arena. You want to be one of those teams. You don't want to be on the outside looking in, trying to scratch and claw your way in.
All right, that's it for Ask Andy. When we come back, I'll give you a quick defense of Curtis.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Andy, I'm Jim. And back to another one of our traditions, Andy. Let's drag quarter three into quarter four. Curtis from Lehigh Valley was asking about, might it be more enjoyable now that the expectations are gone? Where I agree with him is I remember during the sanction years where every game, hey, you didn't know what you were going to get, so you could enjoy every win. There was something to that. And I always wonder, Andy, when you're Alabama, where you go into a season where 11 out of 12 games is a no-brainer, you're going to win, and there's one game all year that you might lose, is that really fun as a fan? I know it's fun to make the playoffs and win that, and that's the payoff. But it's also, we've kind of reached that point in college football where a couple of those high-level teams, now, I think it's changed in the last year or two. There's a little more parity, so yep. There's more games that matter. So, but I do understand what you're talking about, Curtis. All right, let's get back to our main focus, Andy. And, you know, we talked about everything that led up to James Franklin being let go. We started to get the questions in our Ask Andy segment. Question now is, where do they go from here? And you were saying about the number of candidates. I did, just for the fun of it, I spent literally 2 to 3 minutes looking to see names that are being mentioned. And I found over 20 names, Andy, okay? 20 names that people seriously thought were in contention for the job. Mike, before naming names, Andy, you're in Pat Kraft's shoes. What are you looking for in the next coach?
I think this is just me. There's enough of them out there. Find something that you can tie to Penn State. And I would include tying Manny Diaz to Penn State. That's a Penn State tie, right? I'm just giving that as an example. I just feel like in this, I just think for this fan base that they need something like that. They deserve something like that, because it's not like they have to go find a flyer. There's enough of it out there. I don't say it's a must have. I would say it's maybe a nice wish list thing that you can put on. I would be looking for a coach that doesn't tell me he's going to blow up the coaching staff. That's just, I don't know. There's some talented young coaches there that if a guy comes in and says, I want institutional control and I got everything. And I'm like, well, that's what you kind of just got, you know, maybe a little give and take, someone that's going to, you know, work with you a little bit as the AD and say, yeah, everything's up for discussion. It's not my way or the highway. I guess I'm saying I don't think they want a my way or the highway guy. Does that kind of make sense to you, Jimmy?
It does, Andy. Now, I think that Pat Kraft is going to feel like he's got to swing for the fences, okay? What I don't necessarily want to see is I have listeners who sent notes, you know, the names Urban Meyer, okay, Nick Saban. I don't want the old Nick Saban. I want the next Nick Saban, okay? And being able to identify that guy. I'm glad you brought up Manny Diaz. You know, man crush I have on Manny Diaz, where I think Manny Diaz has a bit of the compromise he hits a couple of things. He has head coaching experience. He has some background in Florida, a recruiting area. I like that. I do also, Andy, like several of the position coaches that are here. And he has a tie, not just to Penn State, but to also those coaches. He's worked with them. Right. So I think he'd be able to make a judgment to be able to say, you know what? I work with Terry Smith. I want him as my cornerback coach, okay? Maybe there's another coach that we think of highly, but Manny says, no, I've worked with him. Not the right guy. Yep. So he has that ability, and because of head coaching experience elsewhere, he'll bring in some of his people. I think he's a defense guy. We know that. I think he'll bring in an offensive coordinator that, you know, he'd allow autonomy there. So I think he would be a good choice. I'm not sure if Pat Kraft thinks he's a big enough fish, though.
Maybe not, but also, what size of the fish you can land is, what's the budget look like? How much money is there? Because some of this money has to go into talent acquisition. This isn't going to be cheap, Jimmy. They're going to have to spend more money. And this is beyond the buyout. It's going to be expensive. So how expensive can it be? Does he have a blank check, or does he have a hard cap? I don't know. I'm not willing to speculate. I'm just saying we both know that this is going to be more expensive than less expensive.
Oh, it is. It's going to be a huge expense but I think also that Pat Kraft is smart enough to know this going in. And I just feel like Pat Kraft has his ducks in a row. He's talked to the money people.
I know. I agree.
That he knows for him to make this change, and like we talked about, go 6-6, he cannot have that happen, Andy. So I think prior to making this change, he knew he would have the money to bring in a big name and then have the money to execute the plan, combine the portal, recruiting, to do things that way. Now, we all know, having the money to do it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work.
Right.
But in this day and age of college football, you've got to have that.
Pat has clearly now stepped into the spotlight, right? Like he's very good at his job. He's been an outstanding athletic director at Penn State because he kind of built it. James was always sort of the front man, right? Like, okay, he's going to hire a coach. He's going to, maybe you think he's going to, he's got a, You're saying he's got to swing for the fences, whoever he hires. But either way, it's no longer a singular entity. It's not James. It's now Pat and whoever. Whoever and Pat. It's Pat's now in the spotlight. His job sort of, he has now stepped into the realm where his job is online. You just said it. He can't be 66. That can't happen. Then 7-5 or whatever. Yada, yada, yada. It can't look like that, right? Because they'll fire him, right? So he's now in the spotlight. And I think he's a sports guy and he's a football guy, right? Like he's both. So he's got that going for him. And that's, in my estimation, is better than most.
You make an excellent point there, Andy. This is now the athletic director.
Yep.
He's
up front.
He is not what we think of in college football as the general manager.
Nope.
But this is now like in the NFL. When you talk about the Eagles, you talk about Howie Roseman, okay?
Yep. This is it.
He's part of, and this is, you're right, Pat Kraft is now, his job is on the line, and he has to be aware of that, and let's hope that he put his ducks in a row. So, Andy, you're hearing all the names. If you want to be bored for a minute, I could read off 20-some names to you. We don't need to do that, but what you need to do is tell me, who are you looking at? Who do you want as the next coach?
So I like Joe Brady as a football coach. That's just my two cents. I don't know if he's the OC at Buffalo now.
Yes.
I just like him as a football coach. Is he built to be a head coach at the college level under this kind of pressure cooker? I don't know. But football wise, that's one of my favorite guys. I just think he's an interesting young football mind. And he does stuff that surprises me and fascinates me, and that's kind of hard to do for an old dog like me. I'm a big Manny. I think Manny Diaz, when I'm thinking about it, looking at boxes to check, and I'm like, gosh, why not Manny, right? Like, what, you know, better head coach the second time than he was the first time, right? After a surprising 3-year stint as Penn State's defensive coordinator. That was next level. Manny is one of them. Matt Rhule is definitely going to be somebody they talk to. Kurt Cignetti. I think Kurt Cignetti just feels like a bridge too far. Too much money. That's just going to take too much money. And I feel it that Kurt would be one of those my way or the highway guys. But that Pat might be okay with that. Those are sort of the guys I have gravitated to. Those are my three top guys right there. Matt, Manny, and I'm a big Joe Brady fan as a football coach.
I'll give you a couple. First of all, like, who did we have? One of our Tim from Port Matilda. He mentioned like Eli Drinkwitz, yeah, who's done really well at Missouri. He's probably that right age at 42, young enough, but still has plenty of time. A coach like that, I wouldn't mind. You mentioned Manny Diaz. You know I'm a big Manny Diaz guy. Let me throw a couple things out there. You're right. What he showed us when he was here showed us a great defensive mind. The connection to Penn State. I think the experience he's had as a head coach, which Joe Brady doesn't have, I think is helpful.
Yep.
I'll remind people, even like Nick Saban was at Michigan State before he was at Alabama.
Yeah.
And it wasn't this phenomenal record at Michigan State, but I think that experience helped him when he got to Alabama. I think it'll be the same way with his time at Miami and at Duke. I also know that when he was at Penn State, the players totally and completely respected him.
Yep.
And as far as that bridge, does Pat Kraft want a bridge to Penn State? Does he want someone who will say, hey, I know Terry Smith, love Terry Smith, want to keep him in our, you know, in the coach's room? Or does Pat Kraft want to say, I want a completely clean slate?
Want to blow it up.
And Manny Diaz isn't a decision where you're saying, I want to completely blow it up. But I think there's a lot of good candidates out there. This is going to be a story, Andy, we're going to enjoy for the next couple months.
Enjoy.
So get ready for it. All right, Andy, that is it for the show. Thank you for coming back, Andy. Thank all of you for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.